Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleasant good afternoon to you. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, stevejonesshow.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU and also our Facebook. Like us on Facebook if you miss any of our shows live. We have them posted on our Facebook and Twitter. And you can email the show anytime, Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Good afternoon, sir. We got another busy show planned.
Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is going to join us today. And Tom Hamilton, the play-by-play voice with the Cleveland Indians today. Pretty good. If I were the suit, I would be very busy selling digital media during the Tony Knopp segment. Because I don't think he's going to give a very favorable report on the Summer Olympic Games.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. Does it to you?
Is it what?
Doesn't surprise me one bit, you?
No, not really. I mean, look, let's give you an example. Every time you watch an overhead shot of track and field in the Olympic Stadium, what do you see?
Not a lot of filled seats.
Exactly.
That was terrible last night. I'm thinking, Usain Bolt's in there, for heaven's sakes. Get in there.
This has been an Olympics where every star has performed. Okay? Every star has performed.
I'm looking at a portion of the deck. I'm thinking, wait, is that where the media's at? No, wait, they're empty seats. You got to be kidding me.
Every star has performed. Bolt has performed. Phelps performed. Ledecky performed. Biles, Raisman performed. Brazil men's soccer team advanced to the gold medal final today. Okay? Performed. Beach volleyball team for Brazil, big win, held their seed, beat the U.S. last night. Hey, some really great things have happened. I mean, the stars have shown up and have been stars. The stars are not getting upset in this Olympics, so it's a draw. Now, they've sold a lot of tickets, but because of corruption and greed, people who are lined up to get tickets can't get them.
I remember when you had Tony on back in June that the tickets pretty much for this Olympiad would be pretty easy to come by and not really at a steep price.
Nope. And it's turned out that it is really sad the way it's turned out. And what they're doing with the Olympic Games is not helping the Olympic movement. And this attitude, again, I've stated before, I don't care if the U.S. gets the Olympics anymore. I really don't. I used to, but not anymore. I think there are too many other things going on right now.
The discussion you and Kevin had when there was that idea that they would be coming to Boston, and you know that place inside, outside, upside down, it'd be a logistical nightmare.
Oh, first of all, you'd be building facilities you'd be in debt for 30 years, 40 years. Okay, I don't want something where my children and my grandchildren are still going to be paying it off just so we have a 2.5 week track meet. Traffic wise, Boston's a traffic nightmare to begin with. All you're going to do is compound it. What are you going to do? Close every business downtown because of security? You can't do that. And not only that, I just think the whole thing, which Peter Ueberroth saved the Olympic Games in 1984. He saved it. Came up with a corporate sponsorship idea to help pay for it. The Los Angeles Games saved the whole thing. I think it brought the Olympic movement back to the front. Made people look at the Olympics again in such a way where it was fun. Even though the Soviet Union sat it out, nobody cared. The U.S. sat it out in 1980 in Moscow, which I think was a big setback. And people forget, a lot of people forget this. Do you know where the 1976 Winter Games were supposed to be? They were supposed to be in Denver. And the people in Denver voted, no, we're not going to build this stuff and fund it. The Olympic people were shocked. Shocked. And they had to move it to Innsbruck. Last second. They were shocked. And that's when it looked like the Olympic movement was falling apart. Because Denver gets it, votes no. The U.S. boycotts the 1980 games. The Soviets then boycott the 84 games. But the 84 games were such a huge corporate success, it changed the entire Olympic movement. It made Seoul better. It made Barcelona better. You know, Atlanta was fine. Sydney was fine. Athens was okay. Then when they made the move, we're going to go to Beijing, that's about the point where some people are like, okay, what are we trying to force here now? London was a huge success, obviously. You know, but Beijing, Rio, South Korea, Tokyo, Beijing, I mean, you know, the next three Olympiads are all in the same general area. What? It's almost as if the Olympic move is trying to say that we don't want the United States to have it. Now, again, I don't care if they have it here. I could care less. I think they bring with them too many problems. The World Cup I would take in a heartbeat. I think the World Cup benefits economically a wide range of cities.
Oh, and Tony has brought that up in the past, too, especially with the Copa Americana that was just played in the States about a month ago, noticing a great uptick in soccer tickets.
Well, but I think it also benefits, you know, Dallas, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, wherever they happen to play it, Miami, wherever they happen to play it. It benefits that area because it brings so many people in that take up hotels, go to restaurants, go to the matches themselves. That's great, and the entire country gets some sort of economic benefit from it. You put the Olympic Games and you pick a spot, 2002 Salt Lake City. Well, great place to have it, the whole thing, but it's only Utah that benefits from it. And they had to fight hard, and Mitt Romney saved that. Mitt Romney saved that. They were in trouble. But I predict that Tony will not have a favorable Olympic report, contrary to what the suit says. So for all of you who run into the suit in your daily endeavors, and he's telling you that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread and the invention of salt. No. It's struggling mightily down there. Struggling mightily. And now our athletes aren't. The athletes are doing great.
Oh, look at Simone Biles. But the thing is, you had to wait till 10:35, quarter of 11 last night to watch the floor exercise. And I'm like fading on the couch.
I don't run a major network. I'm not sitting in that chair where I have to make all these decisions. From the outside looking in, I keep saying to myself, it's 2016. You can show it live. But not what they choose to do. Oh, well. Something they don't have a handle on. They have a way to register TV ratings, but you don't know how many people are streaming. And evidently, a lot of people are streaming events. I haven't streamed any of them. I have no desire to stream it.
I will admit, yesterday before the show came on, the suit had me pull the iPhone up, and I was watching the NBC Olympics app, and I brought up the Gold Zone, and there's like quad box on my iPhone, and I'm like, oh man, they had like soccer up in one corner when the Brazil game with Sweden was going into penalty kicks, and then you had the medal ceremony with Biles and Reisman going on at the same time, and two other things at the same time too. I think there was a boating event and one other thing, and I'm like, I need the iPad for that.
Did any of the boats sink?
No, luckily. Looked like one was going to like tilt over.
See, to me, Olympic yachting, I mean, you might as well make it like the world stage and just arm the boats. I think it would be more exciting. All right. What?
Nothing.
I can hear Wakeman laughing in the background on that one. You want to make Olympic yachting exciting? Yes, arm the boats. All right. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Voters.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I'm not anti-Olympics, believe me. I mean, I'm not. I mean, it's been fun to watch. I don't watch every second of it every single night. But I think that the Olympic Committee's view of their product is not as great as it could be. I think they're not very realistic when it comes to the value of their product. It's interesting that it just isn't. I don't know. Well, I don't know what, you know. I think they need to change their attitude a little bit. How about that? I think they need to change their attitude about how valuable their product is. And this corruption of bidding against bidding, again, I think one of the biggest breaks Chicago ever got was not getting them. I mean, people forget, you know, what President Obama went over there. It's like, they're going to get it. Yeah, and they finished fourth. Rio got it. But this has been rocky. Ryan Lochte is back in the States. The Brazilians won his passport. I sense he's never going back there again. Phillies tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Chase Utley getting a nice welcome last night back to Philly.
Yeah, you know, he signed the suit's kid's cap or something like that once, didn't he? Or posed for a picture or something?
Something like that. One of them.
Yeah. Ryan Howard realized that, not worth it. But yeah, Utley homered, then had a grand slam in the seventh last night. Yeah. Phillies are going to be eventually a really good team again. They'll reap the benefits of all these trades here down the road. They're going to be really good again here at some point. Just not at this hour. Not at this hour.
Well, I think a lot of Phillies fans, even as of last year, it's patience grasshopper mode here.
Yeah, they knew. I mean, they knew. In fact, I've sensed the Philly fans were actually far more ready for it than the organization was. Eagles and Steelers, by the way, tomorrow night, working on Neil Coulon for tomorrow's show.
Outstanding.
So Neil Coulon possibility to talk about Eagles and Steelers. By the way, Ben Roethlisberger probably won't play. Carson Wentz won't play. I sense football is greater than ever. I sense, though, in the NFL preseason that especially with the Olympics going on right now, there's not a drumbeat to go watch the NFL preseason at the moment. I mean, do you sense that?
I'll admit I DVR'd the Steelers game last week, but at the same time I was watching the Clinton County boys from Keystone. Their game was on at the same time. The Steelers game's in my DVR, and I have not watched it yet. Not missing anything, looks like.
No. And again, Ben's probably not going to play tomorrow night.
Yep. Yeah, we heard that about this time yesterday.
Yeah. Probably not going to.
Like I said, there's a bunch of guys on that team. If they maybe play one or two series in Game 3 next week, it's all I need to see. We'll just wait for Week 1.
Yeah, I believe me, Week 1, you locked in. In college football, 2 weeks from tomorrow, start. 2 weeks from tomorrow. In fact, the first Blue-White Tailgate show, the preview show, I taped this morning, as a matter of fact. That's how locked in we are for the upcoming season. And the football team has the evening session of their two-a-day coming up tonight. They go one tomorrow, two on Friday, which is their last two-a-day for the season. And then they have a scrimmage on Saturday. So that's the schedule coming up.
Jack coming in to watch it with you?
That scrimmage will be a really important one. Yes.
Great.
And that'll be an important one because they'll then determine, I think, at that point, who goes to scout team and who sticks with the big group. Because they'll have to make that decision next week. I think by the time they get to Wednesday's practice next week, they will have determined who is scout team and who's on the varsity team. That doesn't mean you cannot move from scout team up. I've seen it many times. You're performing well there. You can move up. But this is the first time. And this is where, for some guys who have been working hard and are always used to success, that's a hard conversation to have with some of them sometimes. And they've got a couple of big decisions to make as to who falls into that first group and who falls into the second group. Hard decisions. It's been a really good camp. Many more athletes in there, far more competitive. More next half hour. Tony DeFazio will not make the suit happy. Tony Knopp will not make the suit happy today. The suit is all Olympics all the time.
Or Turbotville. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Still to come, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We will talk about the Olympics and where they fall on the financial pecking order. I don't think Tony's going to paint a very bright picture. Well, I can't be. It's the Olympics. You can't be. Yes, he can. Okay.
But what about the Olympic spirit?
Corruption's making it fall apart. Yeah, terrific. Love it. Yeah.
I knew you did.
Well, no, I think I see something like that in any act of sportsmanship. I love that. I think that's great. I think it's also emblematic of what we see all the time.
And it's great to see on TV. Sure,
right?
Is.
We see that all the time. And it's great to see on TV. It was a great moment. It's a great example. But then again, how often do you go over and shovel the neighbor's driveway? And do you go over and lend? A friend or a neighbor when you find out that a loved one is in the hospital. How much? I mean, these are all things that we do all the time for each other. It's just great to see it play out on an international stage. That's why I just don't like the Olympics. Say, oh, look at the Olympic spirit. See how it brings people together. People come together all the time. Hey, you're just not looking hard enough for it. All right, time now for this day in sports history. 1894, John Wadsworth of Louisville set a major league record when he gave up 28 base hits in a single game. Now that is your basic pitching sacrificial lamb. 1973, Lee Trevino got the first hole-in-one of his career. And it was at the USI Golf Classic in Sutton, Massachusetts. I think it was the Pleasant Valley Country Club, I think. 1980, struck out in his final at-bat. Goose Gossage struck him out. I don't know if he complained as much that day as he did the night Gene Garber struck him out to end his 44-game hitting streak. Pete into the New York Penn League Baseball Hall of Fame. Did not. He and Jorge Posada and Dick Allen all no-shows last night in Wappingers Falls, New York. But that's all right. DeAndre Jordan says winning an Olympic gold medal in basketball is more important than winning the NBA championship. All right. First of all, it's his profession, and it is, and his opinion in his own profession. So I'm not going to rip his opinion. Doesn't mean I can't disagree with it. As somebody from the outside looking in, I do disagree with it. But he also is a person that's living this life. And if he thinks winning a gold medal is more important than the NBA championship, then so be it. Because it's his life, his profession, and his goals. I'll give you a good example on a personal point of view. Most people would perceive, for example, what Bob Costas does to be profession. Yeah, it'd be fair to say, right? And he has earned every accolade he has received during the course of his career. Yet if given a choice between his job, I would pick this job every time. It's more me. It's more suited to me. Now, most people would disagree with that. Most people would sit back and say, wouldn't it be Costas? Wouldn't you want to be hosting? And not necessarily. I'm really happy doing what I do. I prefer doing this. Well, maybe to him, maybe he prefers winning a gold medal to an NBA championship, representing his country, the whole thing. Now, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And in part, the reason I don't agree with it is this. Are all the best basketball players in the world, or the vast majority of the best basketball players in the world, playing in the NBA? Yeah. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis, Manu Ginobili, going back to Yao Ming, and you got players. Foreign influence, great Australian players,
all playing in the league. I mean, are the best players in the world playing in the NHL? Yeah. Since the WHA in the 70s started signing European players. Yeah, it is. Are the best baseball players playing here? Yeah. Look at all the players of Latin influence, now Asian influence, even some from Australia. The best players in the world are playing here. And, you know, football, of course, isn't obvious. It's not really played in a lot of places. But the best athletes are playing here. Pro Golf Tour. Best athletes are playing here. I mean, Justin Rose won the Olympic gold medal in golf, which, by the way, let's give credit where credit's due. Do you realize that the final day of Olympic golf was the second highest rated final day of Olympic golf for the year, behind only the Masters? So people were interested in it. I'm over there talking about changing formats and things like that. Yet the TV ratings tell you that people wanted to see it. Credit where credit's due.
I think maybe people were just curious to see what the course would look like.
Maybe, but the golf was good. Rose, Stenson, head-to-head, two great champions. Yeah, paid off. Yeah, I mean, again, I want to give credit where credit's due. I mean, I didn't think it would do as well because it just seemed like another tournament the way it was being done. But people watched it. Time of day was right. It was live. Everything. It worked. It worked out well for them. So let's give. I just want to give credit where credit's due. And as for DeAndre Jordan, I mean, you play 82 games a year, and you are playing against the best night in and night out. Now, you're not playing for your country. You're playing for your team at that point. So,
I'm glad you brought up DeAndre Jordan because Charles Barkley was interviewed by Sports360AZ.com, and he mentioned DeAndre Jordan. He said, if you take away DeAndre Jordan, every guy on that team is a ball-dominant guy. You see them playing a lot of one-on-one basketball. That's the thing I've noticed more than anything.
Well, I mean, that's the problem that the league has. I mean, LeBron James is a brilliant share-the-basketball guy. And Barkley played in an era where Larry Bird was a share-the-basketball guy. Magic Johnson was a share-the-basketball guy. Even Isaiah Thomas was a share-the-basketball guy. And let's be truthful about it. Michael Jordan was a share-the-basketball guy. He came up in Dean Smith's system, Sean. And you think of some of the big shots that the Bulls have had. Over time, I mean, Steve Kerr, we've watched him coach NBA champions now, an NBA championship at Golden State. Steve Kerr hit the championship-winning shot off a feed from, Michael Jordan. Jim Paxson hit a championship-winning shot off a feed from, Michael Jordan. So this is very much, Barkley's from an era where people shared the ball. And he's right. Carmelo Anthony doesn't share the ball. Kevin Durant doesn't share the ball. Kyrie Irving really doesn't share the ball. I mean, they really don't. Jordan does. Jordan understands his limitations. I mean, he's a good offensive player. He's a great rebounder.
Yeah, he wasn't really ripping the team. He said, yeah, they're all good players, but like what you just said, you know, Kevin Durant wants to score. DeRozan wants to score. Kyrie wants to score, but he's saying USA basketball, if they want to move forward, get players that if they don't get a shot, if they don't get any shots, they're not going to stand around and mope around.
Right, exactly. You have to have those kind of players. Look at the original Dream Team. The original Dream Team, which Barkley played on, had on it Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, John Stockton. Okay? David Robinson didn't care if he got the ball or not. I mean, you want to contribute. Barkley was very much, you know, hey, get the ball and go with it kind of guy. No question. And Barkley, I think Barkley was leading scorer of that team, if I recall correctly. But they shared the ball. This team doesn't share the ball. And I think it probably has to be really frustrating to Mike Krzyzewski trying to coach it. But he's right. I mean, that's a big issue with these guys. Big issue with them. And that's the one thing you do worry about when you put these teams together and when you don't have the right mix. I mean, Steph Curry, for all, you know, Curry and LeBron James are both sitting this out. And I don't blame either one. Curry's coming back from an injury. And LeBron James, let's face it, he's played in 3 Olympiads. I mean, he's done a lot to play for his country. So, no, you know, he's played a lot of games. But what do the two of them do? I mean, Curry, for the fact he's a great shooter, shares the ball a lot. And LeBron James brilliantly shares the ball. But you don't have enough of those guys in the league. You know, it's one thing to put together a complete, thorough all-star team. It's another team to put together a team.
Yeah, going back to 1992, your top 5 scorers: Clyde Drexler, 10.5, Chris Mullin, 12.9, Karl Malone, 13, Michael Jordan, number 2, 14.9, and you were correct, number 1, Sir Charles, 18 a game.
What was he? They asked him about the opening game with Angola. He says, they don't have a chance. What are you talking about? He laughed. I think the U.S. won by 50 or 60 or something like that. I said, what are you talking about? What do you think Angola's odds are? He said, how about 0? Well, we'll take a break. We got Tony Knapp next half hour. I'm telling you. In fact, invite the suit in. I think the suit maybe should listen to this.
He may have a 4 o'clock meeting, or he scheduled a 4 o'clock meeting when he when you gave us the precursor of what Tony's going to say.
Bring the suit in. I think it'd be good for him to hear from somebody that has representatives on the ground in Rio as to what it's like. Oh, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. I just don't think it's going to be pretty. I don't know. I just got a feeling. And the suit is going to accuse us of all sorts of nasty things. That we're just trying to be negative about the Olympics. We praise the Olympics left and right, but there's a business side of it that just, oh well. Corporate people are going to be needed to make the Olympics work. If they don't feel like they're getting bang for their buck, they'll walk. They walk, they've got problems. We'll see. We'll see. We were talking about DeAndre Jordan a little bit earlier. He thinks an Olympic gold medal is more important. And that's his personal opinion. That's what he is. That's how he feels. Well, okay, he feels that way. Fine, so be it. I'm not going to criticize him for having an opinion about his own profession. Now, it doesn't mean I have to agree with it, but I'm not going to criticize him for having an opinion on that. It's a big time, by the way, for James Harrison. He has until August 25th to meet with the NFL. And what's interesting is that he's really between a rock and a hard place. The league wants to talk to him. The NFLPA does not, and he's sitting there in the middle. Now, how do you handle that? I'll go back to what I've stated the entire time about this. The NFL tests for PEDs. They test for it. Well, if you keep passing the tests, to me it becomes irrelevant if Al Jazeera reports that some human growth hormone deal in whatever that Excuse me, they're testing. If you're passing the test, that's the hard evidence I need. I'm not trying to stick my head in the sand about it. I'm testing and it's random. That's the issue I have with it. You can accuse anybody of anything. Does it mean you have to always investigate every single one of them? This story comes up. The first thing I thought was, so what? They get tested for this. If they're testing negative the entire time, well, throw it in the garbage. Wrap some fish. Get rid of it. I mean, that's me. I understand why, from the NFL's point of view, we just want to make sure. Okay, that's fine. Then fly out and go talk to them. You don't have to bring them up to the almighty office to talk to them. You can fly out yourself and go talk to them. Extend a little common courtesy, a little respect. But when you're randomly tested for this and you keep coming up negative, why then do you have to then answer questions about it? It's one thing, there are two things I can't stand. I can't stand indictments based on opinion, and I can't stand indictments based on more probable than not. That's not fair. Well, my opinion is, I mean, this is really my opinion. Well, fine, that's your opinion. Well, guess what? I want facts. I want hard evidence. If you're going to ruin someone's reputation, have the evidence to do it. Not more probable than not, a guess, and not an opinion. Well, my opinion is I think he... Oh, it doesn't matter what you think. You have to show me why. You have to prove why you came to that conclusion. You have to prove it. And in the NFL, in Paul... Let's get to the Harrison situation, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, and so forth. They are tested, and HGH is one of them. Oh, and by the way, if you test positive for a masking agent, that's considered a positive test. Now, I want sports to be as clean as anybody, believe me. I want to believe I'm watching clean events. Well, when you're testing guys for it, that leads me to feel like I'm watching a clean event. That's why I discounted this Al Jazeera thing, because they're tested for that. Well, if you keep coming up negative, why do you have to answer questions about it? And if you're testing negative on it, it also means you're testing negative for any masking agents. All right. Tony Knopf, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management, next half hour. A little Olympic love. Now.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.